thank you for mothers. We want to praise you for choosing for us the person through whom we would learn most about life. We want to honor you for all the goodness that you have brought into our lives through our mothers. And Lord, we ask that today would be a day we could truly obey your command to honor our mothers, to genuinely do that from the heart, as well as praise you for your hand in unfolding our lives. And Lord, we ask that you would give us encouragement through your word and strength, and I pray that our lives would be submissive to you in everything, even in honoring moms and obeying commands like we find in your word. So please minister to our hearts now, and Holy Spirit, would you do only what you can do? You know the needs of every heart of every person in this room, and I pray that you would touch us through your presence. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, amen. Today is Mother's Day, and it seemed right that we would honor mothers, not because it's an American holiday, but because it's a biblical command. Maybe you know this, maybe you don't, but it is a command to honor our mothers. And I also know that perhaps for some of you, this might be a difficult day. Maybe mom's not with you anymore. Maybe she's died. Maybe that's happened recently. Maybe it happened long ago. Maybe you have a bad relationship with your mom, and so today only brings up painful memories. Maybe you want to be a mother, and you can't. Or maybe you became a mother when you didn't want to. There could be any number of scenarios which I could see that today would be a day of painful memories. Maybe your mom was just mean to you. Maybe she abandoned you. I don't want to magnify any pain today in anyone's life. That's not at all what we're here to do. But we do want to give time and space to think about this command. And so I pray that God would allow us to both you consider your mother in whatever that the relationship stands, but also I pray that we would be able to worship God because he chose your mother. You didn't. Not a one of us in this room got to pick who our mothers would be. That was a choice that was beyond us. And I pray that by the end of the morning, you would be able to thank God for the choice he made. You know we're commanded to do this. We're commanded to honor our parents. It's the fifth commandment. Exodus 20:12 says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." This is clearly a command. It says honor fathers and mothers. Father's Day is coming, so we're only going to talk about mothers today, in case you're wondering. But God commands here that we honor mothers. So we want to focus on mothers today. Fathers will come soon. Honor your father and your mother. You know, this is striking because it's not a conditional command. It doesn't say honor your mom only when she pleases you or only when she gives you cookies. I don't know if you've seen that little video. A little boy says, "I love you, mommy, but only when you give me cookies." There's no condition based upon these commands. We're to honor mothers, whoever they are. And so this is a command that's deeply ingrained in the heart of God. He gives it with a promise. He says, "so that your days may be long in the land." Paul says this is the first commandment with a promise. Meaning if you keep this commandment, God will extend your life. If you want to live long in this land, then honor your mother. God takes this very seriously. It pleases him when mothers are honored in our lives. And it displeases him greatly when mothers are dishonored. Think about our culture for just a second and the opinion of motherhood. It's striking to me that in the Bible, if you were to curse or dishonor your mother, do you know that's a capital crime, God's opinion? Which is absolutely staggering. Leviticus 20:9. "For anyone who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He is cursed, his father and his mother, his blood shall be upon him." In God's way of thinking, dishonoring mother and father, but dishonoring, that's a capital crime. It makes us worthy of death. That's staggering. Does anybody come close to holding that kind of a belief in your soul when you relate to your parents? It's incalculable. And yet God is pleased to honor those who honor their mother and to dishonor those who dishonor mother. He's pleased to bless those who bless their parents and curse those who curse their parents. It's staggering. So God is pleased when we honor our mothers, and so is Jesus. And we are followers of Jesus. We want to follow in his example. A couple of points just from Jesus' life to show that he lived a life of exemplifying honor to mother. The first one comes from, you remember when he was age 12? I don't know if you know this story. He shows up, they go to Jerusalem for Passover. Jesus is 12 years old. He goes into the temple. He gets into this intense theological conversation with all the PhDs in religion in the area, and it lasts for 3 days long, and he forgot to text his mom and dad and tell them where he was. They're searching for him for 3 days, 3 nights. They establish this search and rescue plan, and finally they find him, and Mary says to him, "What were you thinking? Why did you treat us like this?" And Jesus' response is, "Well, don't you know it's time for me to get to work? I mean, I'm 12 now, and it's time to get moving. I've got to be doing my father's business." And the next verse is quite staggering because it says, evidently it wasn't time for Jesus to get to work. Because Luke 2:51 says, Jesus went down with them and came back to Nazareth, hometown, and he was submissive to them. Meaning, Jesus was ready to get going. He's ready to start his ministry. He's ready for God's plan for his life to unfold. And this conversation with mom and dad changed his mind. He went home and he was submissive to his parents. He honored his mother with humble, submissive obedience. And there came a time later when he got about his father's business. But the time was not then. So he honored his mother with humble, God-pleasing, submissive obedience. That's one way to honor mom, all of us. And yet there is a time, and might be, when mom's will might conflict with God's will. That time came in Jesus' life later when he was 30. We'll look at this a little bit as we get into the text for the morning. But one way of honoring parents is with obedience. The second is when Jesus did begin his public ministry, he affirmed this commandment. On two occasions, very publicly, he affirmed honoring parents. And in fact, he had a tongue lashing for the Pharisees because he said, "You are hypocrites because you're not honoring your mothers and your fathers. You say you're keeping God's law and that this one you choose to break." He publicly berated them and stated what the case was. So Jesus honored this commandment in his public ministry. And he also honored his mother in his death. If you remember the final moments of Jesus' life as he's hanging on the cross, you remember whom he was thinking about. He was thinking about his mother. John 19:26-27, when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And that's not a disrespectful term. It might seem like if your son's talking to you, "Woman," it's not a disrespectful term. It's like "ma'am" today. "Woman, behold your son," meaning, "Look at me. I can't take care of you." And then he said to the disciple, which is John, "Behold your mother," meaning you got to take care of her while I'm not here. And from that hour, the disciple took her into his house. In Jesus' final moments, he's got his mind on his mother. He's honoring her, wanting to see that she's provided for after his death. So I think Jesus is pleased when we honor mothers. God is pleased when we obey his commands and honor mothers. And now, just the text that Jessica read just a few minutes ago, just two observations from that text. If you have your Bible, take a peek. We'll put it up for you. But verse 46 says, it reveals the difficulties of motherhood. Being a mother is often hard, isn't it? Anybody know that? Moms know that? Verse 46, while Jesus was still speaking to the people, behold, his mother and his brothers stood outside asking to speak to him. So Jesus has now begun his public ministry. He's called his disciples to himself. He's begun teaching, and people are attracted to him. In fact, crowds are attracted to him. He's in the house, and the house is full of people. No one can get in. Mom and brothers are not there. They're not listening to what he's preaching. And they're coming outside, standing outside the house, wanting to talk to him. What's interesting is Matthew does not tell us why they came. Mark does. So in Mark chapter 3, verse 21, we read this. When his family heard of it, meaning that he's teaching and preaching, he's begun his ministry, they went out to seize him. For they were saying, he is out of his mind. How many of you knew Mary thought Jesus was nuts? His mother and his brother went to seize him. They went to get him and take him home. Jesus, you've been in the heat too much. What is wrong with you? They didn't want to make a scene, so they're standing outside politely asking, can you just go get him and tell him, he'll come talk to me, Mom says. And so she thought he was off his rocker. And yet she's wrong at this point. She's mistaken. So this is the point at which Jesus is obeying his father's will. He's not going to obey his mom's will. Being a mother is difficult. Sometimes moms misunderstand. You ever misunderstand your kid? Were you ever misunderstood by mom? Mary was mistaken here. She didn't want him publicly preaching. She did not think this was the time or this was right. She's trying to seize him and take him home. And yet, he was doing exactly what he ought to be doing. Jesus was obeying his heavenly father rather than his earthly mother. So we need to acknowledge that being a mom is difficult. Sometimes it involves confusion, misunderstanding, pain, confrontation. And yet, how are we to respond in those moments? And I think the one thing we have to come down to is, can we understand that moms probably intend best for us? Can we give our mothers the benefit of the doubt that even though she's standing very strongly on some subject about which we perhaps disagree, she probably has our best in mind? Moms are that way. It can be difficult. And moms have this way of having this, moms occasionally make mistakes. 95% of the time, they're right. And we often wonder, how on earth does she know this stuff? Right? God has blessed mothers with a gift of just knowing things. And the rest of us is like, I don't understand it. I don't know where she gets it, women's tuition, whatever. But yet, there are occasions when mom makes mistakes. We just need to be forgiving. In those moments, we need to be forgiving. We need to let go of the offenses and the pain and understand she's just doing this because she loves me. So understanding, first observation, motherhood is difficult. Second observation from this passage, motherhood is about doing the will of the Father. I'm going to read verses 48 and 50 again. But he, just as Jesus replied to the man who told him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand towards all of his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Obedience to the will of the Father is more relationally binding than biological birth. Jesus is saying, what brings you into a relationship with me is belief, it's faith, it's doing the will of Father, it's obeying. And Jesus is happy to claim, as mother, older women that who are doing the will of God. So in a manner of speaking, Mary's not his only mother. Those who are also obeying God's will are those that he would not be ashamed to call his mother. So the real question is for us this morning, what is that? What is the will of the Father? How do we embrace this call to obedience? What does that mean for mothers? What does that mean for all the rest of us? I had two suggestions. First of all, to begin doing the will of the Father is to believe and trust in Jesus. John 6:40 says, this is Jesus speaking. He says, this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. The first step in doing God's will is for you to look in faith upon Jesus and believe in him for salvation, to trust that he can forgive your sins, whatever they are, he can wash away all of your sins, and that he can give you eternal life. Looking in faith towards him, this is what Jesus says the will of God the Father is. And if Jesus knows the will of God, this is it for you, that you would believe and trust in Jesus, in the Son. It is the Father's will that all of us look to the Son and put our wholehearted faith in Him. That's the first step in doing the will of God the Father. Secondly, it is God's will that we bear fruit. This is for everybody in this room, whether you're a man or woman, mother or father. God's will is that we be fruitful disciples of His. So for mothers, first of all, one of the first commandments that God gave to Adam and Eve after He created them is found in Genesis chapter 1:28. God blessed them and He said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it." This means that part of God's will for women is bearing children, and men also to have this kind of blessing. This is a blessing, right? It's not a curse to be a mother. We hear this sometimes in our culture today. It's not a curse. It is a blessing to be a mother. And part of God's will for the world is that it be filled. Overpopulation is not a problem. Underpopulation is. It's God's will that it be filled with people who love Him and who follow Him. And part of His design for women is that women are the ones through whom little people are brought into this world, primarily. So motherhood is a great gift. Do we see that as a gift? It's God's intention. So this is God's will for most women, is that we have children and help in bearing fruit. There are some women who can't physically have children, or some whom God may call not to have children. There's a verse in Matthew where Jesus says that some people have separated, lived a life of singleness for the sake of the kingdom. There is a place for not having children in God's plan. But is that a conviction from God's will or for our own desires? So for most women, this is part of God's will, is to be mothers. Be fruitful and multiply. That's a blessing. I would pray that all of us would see that as a blessing. Also, what about for the mothers who, or ladies who don't have children? There is a way to be a spiritual mother to people. There is a calling to be a person through whom others come to faith. Jesus says in John 15:8, "Behold, my Father is glorified in that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." This doesn't just mean sharing the gospel with people. In the context of this passage, it means living a life of obedient love and faithfulness to God's commands, but it also means sharing the gospel. It's living out the full fruitness of the exhibition of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the fruit of the Spirit. That's part of God's call in being fruitful, but another part of that is helping cultivate disciples. And this is a call given to all of us, not just women, but men. We're all to make disciples. So we can be women who don't have children, can also be used by God to bring people into the kingdom. You can be a spiritual mother to many. Paul uses this example to commend women, to teach other women. Titus chapter 2, he says, "Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They're to teach what is good, train young women to love their husbands and their children." Right? Younger women need to be trained by older women how to be a mom, how to live and love children and love these crazy husbands that they have. And yet, this is a calling. You can be spiritual mothers. You can train and raise up a new generation of people who love the Lord and are delighting to obey His commands. So whether you have children or not, you can be a kind of mother to those in this world. And fathers, those men, everybody else in this room, the fruitfulness that we're called to as disciples, Paul says is for all of us. And he uses motherly language to convey this. In Galatians chapter 4, he says, "My little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you." Right? This is an imagery of birth pains. He says, "I'm in labor over you until Christ is fully formed in you." This is men. This is Paul speaking. So women, you can train and make disciples of people. But guys, also, we're called to be a kind of people who labor to see Christ formed in other people. As I sat with this verse, this is my prayer for this church. I would pray that we would be a kind of spiritual mother in this community, in this world, where people can come to faith, who are beginning, they're just learning, just growing, still having lots of questions, and yet we can still come and learn about the Lord and grow. May hope be a kind of mom in the world, cultivating faith, developing mature believers and mature Christians. May this be our calling. Men, how many of you agonize to see Christ formed in your children? Or even in your wife, if she's not a believer, or its co-workers. Women, do you have people that you're burdened for? Paul says, I'm in my soul, I'm yearning for Christ to come to full fruition in your life. Join me in praying that this church would be that kind of place. Pray that we would be a kind of spiritual womb in this world to bring people to Jesus. So today, if your mother is not with you, if you can't call her up and thank her for all that she's done in your life, can you thank God for the goodness that came to your life through her? Can you look past all of the flaws? Every mother has flaws. Can you overlook all of the wounding that might be there? Can you forgive her, even if she's dead? Can you just forgive her and let go all of the pain and just say, God, thank you. We can probably all think of good things that have come into our lives. No matter how bad your mom may have been, you can probably think of some good things that she brought to your life. Can you honor her and her memory by thanking God for his choice of a mother for you? If your mother is still living, I pray that you would honor her today and obey God's command. Tell her that you love her. Be reminded of all of the sacrifices that went into bringing a little person into this world and cultivating a life to maturity. Maybe your relationship with mom is fractured. Maybe it's not so good. And I would ask you to plead with the Lord to help you restore it. Christ is the Redeemer. He can redeem relationships. He can restore and he can grant healing. Pray, if there is wounding, that the Lord would help you overcome and bring you to a place of forgiveness so that there can be peace and reconciliation in your relationship. And if mom was good, well, that's easy to praise God for, right? There's something you can say, thank you, Lord, for giving me a good mother. So hear these words, final words of Jesus, reaching his hands out towards the disciples. Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. First, are you believing in Jesus? Are you trusting in Jesus? This is God's will for your life. Hear these words of Jesus. Do my Father's will. And secondly, can you help cultivate some faith in others? Can you bear fruit, no matter who you are, woman, mother or not, married, single? Can you be a kind of spiritual mother to the people that you work with? Friends, neighbors, and also for us as men, can you labor, have these pains of childbirth so that Christ is formed in someone? We're called to be teachers of all that Jesus has commanded. And here's an invitation for us to do it. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you would give us faith to look to Jesus, to have our sins forgiven, and to receive eternal life. Lord, I pray that every mother in this room would be honored today by someone. She would know she's treasured and cherished. God, please forgive us as a nation for belittling motherhood, calling it a curse. Change our minds where our minds need to be changed. And Lord, I ask you, please grant healing where there are fractured relationships between mother and children. Grant restoration, grant forgiveness, grant healing. And Lord, for those whose moms are already gone, I pray that today is not a day of pain, but would be a day of joyful memories for the good things that have come to our lives through our mothers. Would you let all of us in this room delight to do your will? And Lord, we praise you for the mothers that we've had. In Christ's name I pray, amen.